Joe Rexroad, sports columnist for the Tennessean. Hey, Joe.
Well, you see, you say that, but I got some emails like, oh, you arrogant Nashville people. You think you're so much better than Alabama. And I'm like, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it just – first of all, everything Joe just said is exactly right. This is a terrible event. It does nothing for you. Now, maybe they can completely change the event and make it actually an event. But if not, I see no benefit to being in Nashville. I think it gets lost.
All right. You know I'm going to go the other way. So, first off, in a downtime of sports, right? There's nothing going on right now sports wise. So you got the SEC football media day, and okay. It's here. And even if it's not, let's take the public component out of it. You still have the focus of a nation for 4 days on the city of Nashville, which is good business. And I dare say in 2 years, they're going to make it more of a fan-friendly event. You know, and Joe had a great idea. Hey, when you pull right up to the Grand Hyatt, you know, region, what is that damn thing going to be called? The Grand Hyatt.
Yeah.
And the coaches.
You don't need to cuss.
Well, I will. And the players and the coaches get out. They go on a red carpet. They meet people. The fans are surrounded by it. Then they go inside and say nothing. But I don't know, man. I think our city is very capable of multitasking quite a few events.
Yeah, no. Well, I'm not arguing that point. I mean, Nashville is certainly capable, and it sounds like obviously this is tied to the opening of a new hotel and a new area that'll have various attractions. It's not about whether Nashville can handle it or do well with it. I'm sure there will be some new ideas and some things to try to make it more appealing. I just think that. This kind of thing, I think that the inspiration, frankly, is like what we've seen with the NFL draft. I think people have seen what the NFL has done, which they should have done a long time ago, and said, my goodness, look what they've made that thing. They've made it a huge, event, sporting event, and it involves every single fan base. Why can't this? This involves all the fan bases, but it's just not comparable because the NFL draft is a thing at which things happen. And news happens, and this is like I heard somebody, somebody said something like this week about, what about like a live studio audience or something for like the press conference? I mean, that would be hilarious. Like to hear people like, ooh and ah, but the thing is they'd fall asleep in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I just think Hoover, Alabama is a perfect size for this. And again, I think Hoover, Alabama appreciates this and looks forward to it, and there's a little bit of tradition there with some of the people who show up. And I just last year in Atlanta, and I know Atlanta and Nashville aren't the same thing, and I know that Nashville will have a better setup just because of how Nashville's downtown is, but no one had a clue it was in Atlanta last year, and I have no clue why it's going back there next year.
Joe Rexroad, not only is he the sports columnist for the Tennessean, but he is the aspiring mayor for Hoover, Alabama.
Hi, Joe. Yeah, did you spend all 4 days down there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I spent a week one night in Hoover.
I just want to. That's a great joke. I just want to know because Tennessee rolled through there, and Pruitt had his thing he talked about, and then like that was it. Vanderbilt brings the triumvirate of the three guys down there, and it's all the talk and all the rage, and I think it's great for Vanderbilt. I think those three guys represented this school great because Greg and I have covered this event for many years. Vanderbilt was the least talked, least attended, least mentioned school down there, and now, at least what I've been reading, Joe, they're one of the top two or three programs being talked about coming out of SEC Media Days.
Yeah, well, Derek, first of all, I think Derek probably, and I don't think it's like this every year, but if you get stuck on the last day, you're going to have a much smaller media crowd. And they tried to anchor the last day. They put Auburn last to try to keep as many people as possible and have local people there, but it was still a skeletal crew compared to earlier in the week, especially with Saban went third day. But Derek Mason does, I think he does a great job at this. I wish all coaches would look at him and take notes because, one, he shows up early. And again, he's got different challenges than some of these guys. But he shows up a day early and goes on Radio Row and does all the rounds and, you know, is as accessible as possible. He's funny and honest and real up at the podium. He's always got like a cool suit that he's wearing.
Right.
You know, and then afterward, anybody who wanted to go up there, I mean, Adam Sparks and I, you know, he sat down and did a podcast with us, and anybody else who wanted him got him. And look, you have to do that if you're Vanderbilt, but still, not everybody would. And so I give him credit, and you're right, the guys were fantastic. I actually hung with Jared Pinckney most of the time, yesterday just because I was writing about Pinckney, and he was fantastic. But all those guys, had fun, and you know, Kalijah Lipscomb was terrific. I mean, those guys are great representatives of the program. So you're right, Joe. I think they created as much, you know, I guess, buzz as anyone. You know, not named Saban. Of course, everything Saban says, you know, is going to, and he said a couple of crazy things this week, you know, is going to move the needle more than anything. But I mean, you saw all those other guys in a hat, and I don't know what the heck. I mean, what did they say? You know, what
right.
It was utterly boring. So, yeah.
Well, go back to your Saban thing for a second. I think when I listened to Saban, he was with Johnny Ballpark the other day, there's a slight twinge of humility to him now that I'm missing this completely, that I heard from his voice. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
Well, I mean, look, I always tell people I was a student journalist first starting out, and, you know, got to cover Nick Saban when he was way meaner than he is now, you know, 20-plus years ago at Michigan State. So to me, like, kinder, gentler, sweetheart guy. But, yeah, I think you're right. But also, then he goes on Feinbaum and basically, you know, makes an excuse for losing at Clemson, like his assistants were just worried about, like, getting head coaching jobs, which to me, like, any good coach of a good program, don't they all deal with that every year? They're having a successful year, the coordinators. I mean, it just seems like a lame excuse. But, you know, there's always got to be some reason they lost.
Joe Rexroad with us at Joe Rexroad on Twitter, sports columnist for the Tennessean and the honorary mayor of Hoover, Alabama, with us here this morning. How did you think Jeremy Pruitt did? I read one that he had a 21-minute filibuster, took 8 questions, but then again, he gets up there and he says, "I hate doing this," but then he talks for 21 straight minutes.
Yeah, well, hey, I appreciate the honesty. Yeah, that was funny. It was like, "I hate doing this," and I'll sit there and listen to every single person who lives in Knoxville. I'm going to list them right now.
Look,
he hates doing this, and that's also like, I hate taking questions, you know, so I guess that's one way to avoid it. Usually you see those filibusters from coaches who know, like, they've got, like, a player in trouble or they got some kind of controversy going on. And they're trying to minimize the questions. That's not the case with Pruitt. I mean, I do think that, like, compared, like, last year to this year, he's more comfortable. I thought he did a better job of handling the questions. And, you know, I think he got done what he wanted to get done. I mean, he was flat out talking to some recruits when he was up there, you know, some wide receiver recruits that they're after right now and things like that. You know, he was fine. I mean, he doesn't like it, and so, hey, at least it's better, you know, to tell us, I guess, than to pretend. You know, I thought his guys were, you know, Garantano. The big thing that I appreciate about Pruitt this year is that he brought Jared Garantano, because, of course, last year it took, like, a blowout win at Auburn or, you know, a big win at Auburn for Garantano to talk for the first time, you know, the starting quarterback, which is just astounding. So hopefully this means – I think it does mean that, you know, their relationship's better and he has trust in Garantano, but hopefully it also means that maybe he gets a little bit that, you know, you should go ahead and let your top players speak because they're speaking for the team rather than have, like, a random third-string guard speak for people, you know? And that's really kind of unfair to him and the other guys.
You know, Joe, I can't even – I know they brought down Garantano. Who are the two other players they brought down?
Well, Daniel Batuli, who was really
good. Really?
Okay.
He has a fantastic story. I wrote about him last year. Was very limited talking to him, but, of course, you know, he's a Nashville kid, of course, Nashville Christian. And,
right.
You know, an unbelievable backstory for him. And he was great. And then Daryl Taylor was the other one. And all those guys, you know, did well. And so, you know, it was good choices by Pruitt and good representatives for Tennessee.
kind of make up for Pruitt.
Joe Rexroad with us at Joe Rexroad on Twitter. We are at the Southern Steak and Oyster every Friday morning. Hey, by the way, the third Friday of every morning, Joe, just come on down. You don't. We may not put you on the air, but we'll feed you. So just want to invite you, okay?
I have been there, I think, a couple times, but, yes, I will be there again soon.
Joe's living that high life in Franklin, Greg.
Nolensville. He lives in Nolensville.
Yeah. Down the other side of the tracks.
Yeah, come on. Get it right, Joe. Come on. Come on now.
You mentioned we were talking just sort of about the approach of Jeremy Pruitt. Derek Mason is like 180. He embraces it. He dresses for it. He prepares for it. He brought three offensive studs, and I'm impressed with you with Pinckney. You're latching on to him because he's probably the best pro prospect, so not surprised you latched on to him for future tickets or whatever you're going to get. But Derek Mason, I love his approach. It's almost the way it used to be with a lot of those coaches would come down there and embrace it.
Yeah, and embrace expectations, too. I mean, and I asked him about that after the presser, on our podcast. I was like, is this, just because you're an optimist? Or, a lot of these coaches, some of them flat-out downplay things. A lot of them at least kind of want to keep it muted, when you want people to get excited, you want to be confident. But, you don't want to necessarily put yourself out there and say, man, this is an amazing team. And we look at all the good things we have. We might just win every game. And that's not what Derek said, but he was very confident. He said this is the best team he believes is the best team he's had. And I think every year at this thing, I leave his presser saying, oh, man, they're winning 9 games this year. Maybe 10. I don't know. 9, 10, which one? I don't know. So he has this excitement. But he said it. I think it's mostly – one, he said, I think he is an optimist. But also, he's like, hey, why not? Why not be confident and put that out there? And so that's also kind of different and refreshing. Because I look at this Vanderbilt team, and I have a lot of questions about it. The schedule is just so unfair early to have the best two teams on the schedule, 1 and 3, both SEC teams. But he believes he's got the best depth he's ever had, and I think he thinks their defense is going to be better, even though they lost a lot of guys.
Joe, as you look at SEC Media Days, put it in the back burner for now for a little bit. Any team, he's talking about Alabama and LSU and Georgia, but anybody else stand out to you? I mean, I know everybody's putting down Kentucky and South Carolina and Florida and everybody else. Anybody else that kind of stands up to you like, keep a little eye on this program right here?
In terms of on the field, who might surprise?
Yeah.
After talking
to players and coaches.
Yeah, well, the guy, honestly, and maybe this is biased from just being impressed by them talking, but, along with Derek Mason, the guy who I really like at this event and I just really like in general as a coach is Joe Moorhead from Mississippi State. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens there because obviously Dan Mullen did things there that people didn't anticipate, and that's why Dan Mullen's at Florida and, should have been hired, by Tennessee, the second after that season ended. But, Mississippi State is a tough place to win, but Joe Moorhead has done really good things as coordinator, head coach at Fordham, and he's just a really impressive guy. And, again, kind of different, funny, and he's willing to go back and forth and show some personality. And I can see that playing well on the recruiting trail. And in his locker room. So that's the first thing that comes to mind when you say that. I'm interested to see, not that I think that particular team is anything special this year, but, over the long term here, can he maintain what Mullen did? It won't be easy at all, but I really love that hire.
I I think with Moorhead at Mississippi State, I think people fail to realize they look at Mississippi and the state and who cares, Mississippi State, Ole Miss. There's a lot of passionate Mississippi State fans around that travel this football team, that support this football team, and these young men understand that and feel it. And I think that's a very underrated football program in the country.
Yeah, obviously it's always a rivalry in terms of the recruiting field too. And when I compare Joe Moorhead and Matt Luke, We'll see. Matt Luke seems like a solid football coach, but I could see Joe Moorhead doing well, head-to-head in living rooms. So,
right.
You're right. And that's people talk about the go, but, people talk about Stark Vegas, too. And, by the way, I haven't been to either one of them yet. So.
Well, it's also – here's a good trivia question for you. Here's a good trivia question. Somebody asked you what the two SEC schools are closest to each other. Do you know what that answer is?
I do.
Auburn and Georgia.
No. Keep guessing. The two SEC schools located closest to each other.
It's not Mississippi State.
Nope.
You got one of them.
Georgia and Tennessee?
No.
I just told you had one of them, Mississippi State.
Okay. I thought the first time I had one of them. Man.
No.
Tell him, Greg.
Mississippi State and Alabama.
Ah, interesting. Okay.
About an hour drive between them. Yep.
So, yeah, use that at your little Tennessean parties and be a
Oh, hold on. I got breaking news here, Joe. I got breaking news here for the 2021 SEC Football Media Days at the Hyatt Regency Stockyard that Joe Rexroad will be hosting a party on the 13th floor in the Joe Rexroad suite.
Nice.
So, good job by you, Joe.
And I've got a trivia question to use now as we
yep.
Eat escargot and drink fancy cocktails.
Yeah. Well, Joe, hey, always appreciate you, man. I did enjoy. You know what you do? That column got a run, right? You write a column, and now 3 days later we're talking about it. That column got a run.
Yeah, there you go. Ticking people off pays. But,
least,
hey, you know what?
Hey, at least you're not David Clymer. Just do it for the sake of it.